These are your prayers. I believe the Lord has given me something this morning that would be valuable to us if we'll take it in. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, in the 18th verse, says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. I think it's very important that we have a vision. A correct vision. It's got to be the truth. A vision about, I think it's important to have a vision about what the church is. And I think it's more than that. I think I need a vision about the truth about me. I need to know the truth about you. I need to know the truth about God today. It's very important that we have a vision, because this scripture said, "Without a vision, the people perish." So it takes a vision, and that, of course, means an understanding. I need to have a vision of the church. I need to know what it is. But I also need to know what it ain't. I need to have it in its proper perspective. I need to know about you. I need to know about you. I need to have a vision. And you know why? Not that I can run your life. That ain't what it's about. I don't need to know the ins and outs about your life. But it is important that I have you properly put. Because I can put you in a place that you're not. And I can put you in a place that I can become have a very big fall. Because I put you in a place that you're never supposed to be in. Many people have done it. I need to know who I am. Because, you know, I can have some false understandings about myself that can lead to some real disappointments. I need to know who God is. Properly who God is. I'm thinking of a word this morning. It's disillusionment or disillusioned. I think it was the winter, somewhere in the winter before Brother Jim passed away. He's been gone over 4 years now. And he made a comment. He said, "I really wonder how much of a vision our people have." And we had a little conversation about his burden about that. And I've thought about that off and on. About that idea of having a vision. And something kept coming to my mind, but it never was really there. But this word, disillusioned, kept coming to me. I mean, disillusioned means that you've come to a place that you understand something that you had a delusion about. Or an illusion. Something that you believed that wasn't true. You know, it's very important that we get things right. And it's very important that we deal with our disillusionments, because I really believe that any people, group of people, but I guess I needn't talk about them, but I believe a group like us has a lot of disillusionments. We've had to face things and understand and all of a sudden say, "I believe something and it's affected me. I believe something that I had it wrong. I had it wrong." And we need to deal with the disillusionments that we have in our life. I've been there. I believe we all have. To where we've said, "So let me tell you a disillusionment. The people that believed in Jesus, many of the people that believed in Jesus, the Jews, many of them that believed Jesus were disillusioned. They were. They believed in Him. They believed in Him. They was disillusioned in the fact that they did not get who He was and what He come to. They didn't understand it. They didn't believe it. And so they put all of their belief that they put into Him. Do you know that the disciples, when Jesus was crucified, was disillusioned? How could He die? I go a fishing. Don't know what else to do. The one that I put everything into is dead. What do you do after that? There were some men on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus pops in, walking with them. They didn't know it was Him. Walking with them, they begin to talk. You know, one of their phrases was, "We believed. We thought," they said, "we thought that He was the Messiah. We thought that He was the one that was going to come and deliver us. He was the deliverer. We thought." You know, they was walking along the road disillusioned. They had put all their beliefs and hopes in the one that was going to deliver them, and now He's been crucified. He's dead. He's gone. We can put our hopes in people. Even the Scriptures can be a source of disillusionment if we don't get them right, if we don't understand it. Do you know that the Scriptures are true? The Word of God is absolutely true, but people don't have to live by it. And we can be disillusioned, and I believe we have, as a body of people, I believe we've been disillusioned by failures. Now listen, I want to preach what the Lord gives me. I believe that we are disillusioned by failures. I believe we've seen the failures of those that's been before, those humans. We've seen the failures. We've seen the failures. I still believe the Scripture teaches a sin-free, victorious life in God. But you know, it's hard to grasp the vision of that when I've seen so much failures. I've seen the one that I counted on. I've seen that, and after a while, I'm disillusioned. You know, I still believe that sanctification is real. But I've been somewhat disillusioned by it because of the failures of my own life, because of the failures of those that taught it, preached it, I become disillusioned. What is this? See, what I'm saying is that a vision put in the wrong place or an improper vision of things will cause us to be disillusioned. We'll be saying, "Well, what is this? I put so much into this that this was the truth." And I'm going to tell you, I believe the Lord's helped me to see something here. When you've been disillusioned, it's really, really hard to get back to really understanding the truth, to really see it. We need the Lord to help us through these failures of things and to be able to really see what the truth is. God did not promise us a bed of roses. He didn't promise us a life without difficulty. He did not promise that He was going to heal us every time we got sick. He didn't make those kind of promises. And when we put our faith in, when our vision has been that we have a God that heals us every time, and then we've seen over and over and over again, the prayers come up empty. And the Lord takes those, or the suffering continues, and then we're disillusioned because we believe something that wasn't true to start with. Jesus was still the Messiah to those people, but they had put their hopes in. I'm going to tell you where they missed it. They had a vision. Their vision was that Jesus was going to sit on His earthly throne, and that the Romans was going to be subject to the Jews. And that's what they believed the deliverance was. So they believed in this Jesus because He was proving Himself Messiah. They thought, they believed, that He was going to somehow overthrow the Roman and He would be their deliverer. The vision was to the right person. It was just the wrong idea. Jesus never came to do that. And we, if we're not careful, we'll put our vision on people. Well, that's people. Those are people of God. They can't fail. Those are people of God. They know how to pray. They're people of God. I want to have this rightly divided. We are to have confidence in one another and confidence in what God can do. But I'm going to tell you, if you think somebody can't fail, you're going to be disillusioned. And then you're going to be disillusioned about the plan that God has, and that wasn't God's plan. That's not God's plan. God don't want us to put confidence in one another. God wants us to put confidence in Him. Do you know that there was people that Jesus fed among those 5,000, most all of those people was disillusioned? Because they looked at that and said, wow, let's follow this guy. Can you imagine? We won't have to work. I mean, the reason people work is so they can eat. And this man can feed us. So let's follow him around. Isn't it great to be a follower of Jesus? Shouldn't everybody be a follower of Jesus? Well, we'd answer yes to that. These people were following Jesus. They was following because He could feed them. Jesus never attempted or had in His mind that He was going to make them in any way delusional, but they wasn't seeing what the truth was. He wasn't saying to them that I want you to follow Me because I can feed you. He even told them later, you followed Me not because of the miracle, which you should have. You followed Me because you eat for free. And so you'll just follow Me around eating for free. Jesus is, God isn't attempting to be that. We'll have we'll be disillusioned at some point when we look and say, what I believed in isn't working for me. It isn't working. I looked and said, yes, 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 I believe the Scripture says that you can live a sin-free life, but I'm disillusioned. I believe that sanctification can lift you above yourself, and I believe it empowers you to do what God wants to do. But boy, oh boy, these people, they're saying they're sanctified, and then they're throwing the hammer, and then they're acting ugly, and then they're doing all this, and it, obviously sanctification doesn't work because nobody's doing what they should do. And now I'm having a hard time believing what it's supposed to do. Because I believe today that we all somewhat have been disillusioned. We've lost the vision, the pure vision of what God does, what He can do, what He wants to do in our lives, because we have been saturated after years and years of struggle, fighting, working for the Lord. We have become disillusioned about what kind of victory I can really have. And I believe we don't even push for it anymore. We don't pray for it anymore. We don't really strive for it anymore, because I'm accepting a moderate level of Christianity that I can say this fits the mold that I've seen. And I'm not getting any higher than what I should. When we're out of vision, the people perish. And I see it plain now. I feel like the Lord's given me the understanding of it. I see it plain to what's happening. And I believe that more and more people will drop off and go away, and we're going to lose more and more if we don't get the vision. A true vision of what God is, what He can do, and what He does, and God, let God begin to give us more victories and more victories in our faith to understand what God really wants of us. And it is getting eyes off of people. It's getting eyes off of the past. It's getting eyes off of that and beginning to focus back on what the truth of it is and what God really wants to do in my life. And getting victory. I believe there's been a number of disillusionments. I want to look into a couple of them. Over in Numbers. Wonder what happened to these people. We'll look at it a little bit. It's in the 13th chapter of Numbers. I'm going to read from the 26th. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregations of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to the congregation and show them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. God had promised that He was going to deliver the children of Israel, and He was going to give them the land of Canaan. I think they knew it. Been prophesied, told. Moses performed what the work of the Lord. Got these people over there to obtain what the Lord had said. He said, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. And they become disillusioned. They went over there and looked at it and said, what's this? I thought the Lord was going to give us something. He's going to give us the land. But there's people in it. They become disillusioned. Do you know God never said that? God said, I'm going to give you the land, but He didn't say, I'm going to give you the land without you wanting it. I'm going to give you the land without you trying. I'm going to give you the land without any effort from you. I'm going to give you the land without you having any faith about it or any thanks for it. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to give you the land, but I'm going to give it to you by your own struggle. I'm going to give it to you by your own faith to take it. They had they were disillusioned at this point because they thought they was going to walk over there. The Lord had promised them, I'm going to give you cities you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant, and I'm going to give it to you. And the Lord wanted to give it to them through their own battle, through their own struggles, through giving it to them by their own faith. He was going to give it to them, folks. You know, He's made us a promise that we can have the land. We can have the land of Canaan in our own life. We can have our own victories. But He didn't say, I'm going to give it to you in spite of yourself. I'm going to give it to you by your own faith that grows to it. I'm going to give it to you by what I've set out for you to do. Here it was. These people became so disillusioned when they saw the giants, when they saw the walled cities, when they saw the obstacles that was up against them, when they looked back, no doubt, at their own failures, their own problems. We heard it in Sunday school today. The Lord brought them out of Egypt by a mighty hand. Now think of it. There was a reason why the Lord done what He done. He kept hardening the Pharaoh's heart that He could prove to the children of Israel that He was God above all of their gods in Egypt. He wanted to break the yoke of the gods of Egypt before He took them out of the land. And in those 10 plagues, He confounded every god they had in Egypt and proved that He was God. He took them out of there and crossed the Red Sea. A sea, what was it? Fire by night and a pillar by day, a pillar of or a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Led them to the Red Sea by a miraculous hand, took them across, and they become disillusioned. Why? Moses left and was gone. They had no leader, nobody to say anything. They thought they had been abandoned. After all that the Lord had done, right there before Him, He gave them all of those things, and right there before, and they become disillusioned at what it all was about. And rose up, now folks, listen, there's words here that mean something. They rose up to play, to dance. They begin to dance. That says something more than the words itself suggests to us, but it meant that they rose up in their flesh. They rose up against the things of God. They began to be lustful again, doing the things for the other gods. That's why they made that calf and done those things. They had reverted back. They become disillusioned at God and what God was trying to do. They didn't understand, and their vision wasn't there. They didn't realize that what was happening, that God was allowing a time of waiting, and God's still God. They become disillusioned. We all become disillusioned at failures and time that we don't see and those things. And they become disillusioned. And it was to their detriment. And again, he brought them to this place to cross the Red Sea, or to cross into Canaan, the promise to be fulfilled. Had they by faith went across there? No, yeah, they had fought some battles over there just like they did some 40 years later. But they had won the land. But they become disillusioned at the whole process of God. They never saw it for what it really was. They didn't see it. Lord, help us today. If we've had the vision, to get it back. If we've not had the vision, get the vision. What is it really about? Give me the true vision of what you're going to do. I don't see a bed of roses ahead. I see a God that can keep us through anything. I got a vision of a God that expects holiness and righteousness in a person's life. I have a vision of something that He set up, a oneness, a perfectness. God would do it no other way. I still see the church as that bright, shining city on the hill. I still see it the way I've always seen it. I've seen the failures. I've had the failures. But my failures doesn't dismiss the thing. My failures doesn't change the truth. It doesn't diminish the Word of God. It doesn't change it a bit. People failed before me. People failed after me. That's the way it is. But there's been those that's given example of what their failures, but kept the vision. Brother and Sister Sammons, come here and show the vision. I appreciated Brother Jim. He lived the vision. Brother Clifford Wilson, come and help us to see the vision and help us to see it. If he wasn't the man that would stand up here and say, I've never had a failure. But he was the man that had the vision that would say, God's helped me through all my failures. He's still God to be able to see it. Lord, help us today to not be taken, not to be moved, not to be run down, but all the failures that we've had, all the failures that we've seen. If we want to expand it from this congregation, the church has suffered many setbacks. Many ministers that preached to us has went back. Many ministers that failed right before us. Many ministers have done hideous things and that. And many people had their hopes on them and said this is, and just admired and done all those things. Folks, you're just looking at a man. If you'd have been back in the days of Israel and had your hopes on King Saul, he'd have let you down. If you'd have had your heart on King David, he'd have let you down. You'd have looked at that and said, there's no grace. There's no help. And a man that lived so close to God as David did and end up like that. You know, that's put in the scripture for our betterment. To understand that any time you get away, the Lord, these things can happen, but they're still God. We need the Lord to help us to have a pure vision. Like I said, of the church, yeah. And of myself. And of you, and of God, that I would see it just for what He is. All right? John 66, or 6 and 66. This was in our Sunday school lesson today. Fifty-ninth verse. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this isn't a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. It says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What was they expecting? These were disciples. They were followers. Do you know they become disillusioned? The only way to be disillusioned is to have an illusion. They had an illusion. Something that wasn't true. And they all of a sudden come to the realization that what they believed wasn't true. They believed that Jesus was going to be the one that was going to be their welfare check. They believed He was going to be the one that was going to set them in power and do all those things. And all of a sudden, the Lord's laying it down to them very strong. It ain't going to be that way at all. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I think that I'm of the opinion maybe that they understood what He was talking about. It's a hard thing to walk like you walk. You don't even own property. You don't assume yourself. You humble yourself before people. How can we walk that way? That's a hard thing to say that we're going to have to do like you do. You're walking around here and laying your head on rocks and stones and you don't own anything or have any possessions. Well, we're going to follow that? Follow you in humility? That's a hard thing. I thought that we was going to move the Romans out and sleep in their beds. I thought that we was going to have their money and they was going to be our servants and we would be the ones on top. And you're telling us something different? I'm disillusioned by you. You've not done what I thought you was going to do. What do you think the Lord wants to do for you today? You got any illusions? You got any illusions that life is supposed to be carefree and pain-free and the Lord's our helper? I'm glad that He is. But I don't want any am disillusioned. I don't want any illusions to start with. I would that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. He wants us to have all the good things of life. I'm convinced of it. He cares. But beyond all that, He's going to deal with our souls. And He's going to be faithful to our souls no matter what it takes. And we can look somewhere else or believe something else. But all the things that happen should not make us disillusioned. They should be stepping stones of faith. They should be places, another place that I can mark down. He helped me. He helped me again. He helped me again. God has been there with me. And it says in this scripture, they walk no more with Him. They quit. We've had folks right here quit. They've quit. They had hurts. It hurts. They quit. What happens? It's disillusionment. That's what it is. Thought something. Believe something's going to be a certain way. It ain't worked out that way. It ain't panned out that way. I know somebody personally that is not here, it's not around here, lives a long way from here. But this person is so disillusioned with things. Thinks that if you live for the Lord, then that means all of your financial things are going to work out for you. Right? Everything you put your hand to works out for you. This person made a comment one time, I'm living for the Lord. I try to live for the Lord and things just get worse for me. What things get worse for you? The things that I try to do. Hey, listen, I understand that completely. I do. I'll be honest with you. Some days I pray the hardest. The day is the most complicated. But He's working with our souls. Don't be disillusioned about what God's trying to do. That just seems like, it seems to me like that if I do what I'm supposed to do, then the devil's turned loose on me. So hey, guess what? I won't do what I'm supposed to do. So the devil can't be, that's not true. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Folks, that's important. That is so important right there. The vision. The vision that Peter had. Lord, I see what they're talking about. I see their argument. I see the concerns that they have. I walk this way enough to see all that too. But where would we go? I have a vision. I have a belief. I know. You have the words of eternal life. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to do. But I know you have them. And the only way possible for me to have eternal life is to stay with you. Is to listen to your words. The other ones was disillusioned because they didn't know what it was. They did not understand what it meant. But I believe he did. Where would we go? It don't matter what happens in this life. You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And what is the devil? We'll look at another scripture. This is in 2 Timothy. I don't know that Paul never had any disillusionments, but I appreciate the life of the Apostle Paul and the letters that he wrote and how God used him. And I want us to think something about Paul's life. It wasn't easy. He was stoned. Now, come on. Have you ever said to the Lord, Lord, I am living for you. Hey, can God keep you from being stoned? Do you think God could keep you from, if he wanted to keep you from being stoned? Well, sure he could. Could he keep a boat afloat? The ships have to wreck? What'd you do this to Paul for? This was a faithful servant. He wasn't disillusioned. One place he went to before the Lord, he knew the power of prayer. And he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take away this thorn in the flesh. And you know what the Lord told him? No. No. I'm not going to do it, Paul. I'm going to leave you with it. Why? Because it makes God feel better? No. Because you need it, Paul. And I love you and I'm taking care of you. And Paul's vision was intact. And instead of seeing it as a detriment, it became a blessing to him. A thorn in the flesh was a stepping stone in his life. He got a hold of it, he said. The Lord told him, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And he said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will therefore glory in it. I want it. Give me weakness that I might feel your strength. Because now I'm powerful in God. The vision was intact. His vision was intact when he talked about the sufferings of this present world. They're just for a moment. They're just for a little time. How much exceeding more is the glory that he's going. How all these, he had the vision. It seemed something that the man of God, you know, in one place this man of God turned to the sorcerer and smote him with blindness. That's powerful. But you know, he also was on ships that wrecked. He's floating around on a board in the deep or a barrel or whatever he had a hold of. He was out there floating around. And I guess you could scratch your head and say, Lord, master of the earth and sea, what are you doing? This is a hindrance. Got out of one thing, crawled up on the land, sat by a fire, and went to get a piece of wood, and a most poisonous snake bit him on the hand. Oh, come on, Lord. I said, no, I've got enough to do, now a snake bites me. You know, in each one of these things, he crawled out, got out of the water. The snake bite didn't hurt him. These are problems, but the Lord took them. and blessed his life with him. And the vision stayed true all the way. He had a vision of God and what he was doing. And he knew that the Lord wasn't going to take him out till the Lord was ready. And Paul got to the place that he wanted to go. His vision was so bright, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. It'd be better for me and go and be with the Lord. Oh, how I want to be with Jesus. Because I got a vision. You got a vision? Heaven mean anything to you? You need to have a vision of it. A vision of better things. It's better off no matter what we have to do here, folks. We're here for a little time. We say that, but do we really have the vision that I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go somewhere and I need to have a vision that's real and right? Many people are delusioned by all this and they think God is some kind of rabbit's foot, lucky charm, and he ain't. Paul was hurt. He preached to people. He begat them. There was people that he preached to that got saved, and he set up congregations. And then later false prophets came in, and he was so hurt by that, that these people were listening to false prophets and not him. To one point he said, I begot you in the gospel. I mean, you ought to look at that. And now you're following these false prophets. But he never lost the vision. That didn't make him lose the vision because other people wasn't living right. Well, he could have shook his hand and said, there's no reason even to try. I set up a congregation and a false prophet comes in and they take off with him. There is no reason even to try and there's not enough power to keep these people. Then people were saved and they ended up going with false prophets. Well, isn't salvation enough to keep you from going with false prophets? You get delusioned about what it is. Folks, you can get saved and it's powerful to savings of his soul. But you know, you can get saved and go back. You can get saved and lose out. So, it comes down to his time. He's talking to Timothy. Sixth verse, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Oh, I've looked at these words many times. That I'd like to be able to say this, knowing that the time's short. And by tomorrow they're going to take my head off. But I can say today, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith through everything that happened. All the whippings, all the scourgings, all the shipwrecks, all the calamities, snake bite, all those things. I still have faith. I still believe. My vision is still as bright as it's ever been. I still see what God's done. I still see what can happen in the hearts of men. Do you know, after a number of times, failures of people that seem to want deliverance and not seeing deliverance, I've wavered. Can a person really be delivered? I've wavered. And said, well, it just doesn't seem to happen. Is that for days gone by? You remember the woman that was around us for a while? Denise, wasn't that her name? I prayed for as hard for that woman as I prayed for anybody in my life. I begged the Lord. I told the Lord, this is the woman you died for. Of everybody I know, Lord, you died for her. Oh, I begged the Lord for her. She seemed like she wanted out so bad. She killed herself. I was just in a stupor over it. I've seen a lot of failures like that. We'd like to have a testimony that we've got some. We like to, oh, they always work out. You know, God's still just as much a deliverer as he ever was. That's right. Still got a vision. God's still delivering an honest soul. I can't judge all the other things, but my faith, my vision still says God's still real. He's still God. And he still can do that. I've seen a lot of people die that I prayed for to live. And over I see this disillusionment caused by people that say, God's going to heal them. God told me they're going to heal them. I shudder for that kind of disillusionment. If God really said it, He'd really do it. When He don't do it, He didn't say it. Folks, that's disillusionment. It's when I learn that something I believe don't work. God's still a healer. God's still worth trusting. God's still God. He's still God. And you have a vision of it. Isn't it? It's a vision of God. It wasn't God that failed. God never said He wasn't going to take somebody out at 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. He never said it. He's God and He knows what He's doing. I only have to say, I want to understand. I want to know You. I want to have my confidence and trust in You. It doesn't only happen to those in the Lord. It happens to the whole, all the world. The sun shines on us all. The rain falls on us all. But people become disillusioned when they think something that's false. You know, people out here in the sports world get disillusioned all the time. I see it all over. They think their team is the best team. And then their team gets beat and it leaves them hurt and disillusioned. What happened? A few years ago, West Virginia University was going to, they had it going. And they was talking national championships and they won their first game. They won about 5 straight games or something. Then they started losing their games and boy, was people, they found out that they had believed something that wasn't true. Lord, help us today. That the Lord would help us to restore the vision to its proper place. That we would see. I think Brother Jim said that because he had a burden of something that he was seeing. Do we have the vision that we should have? Lord, help us today. You pray for me.